بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شعر فاضل الشيخ اول رومي وقت تبريد الدوره شيخ راج عرب العجم الشيخ حكيم محمد اختر صاحب نور الله مرقده تايتل هي صبح مدينه هي شام مدينه یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ بلا جان کیا جامو مینا عالم بلا جان کیا جامو مینا عالم تیرا کیف ہے خوش حرام مدینہ تیرا کیف ہے خوش حرام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ 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 بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ نگاہوں میں سلطان نیت ہیت ہوگی نگاہوں میں سلطان نیت ہیت ہوگی جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو
سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو، سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ، سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے، وہ آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے، جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ، جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ، مدینہ 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 مدینہ، بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، اما بعد. This beautiful bayan of our Dana Sheikh Ari Billah Rumi Waq Tabriz Zamana Mujaddid Zamana Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allah Marqadahu, Hazrat is teaching us a very important aspect with regard to Tawheed and belief in the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, where Allah Hazrat mentions in another poem کہ شبت توحید کامل یہی ہے کہ آپ کی محبت ہو قلب و جان میں. That the completion and the condition of complete iman is that we have deep and we have complete love for Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hazrat teaches us here how to develop this love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why Allah Rabbul Izzat commands us that كُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. If you want complete and perfect iman, when you want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you can only gain through the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this love you can only learn from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to be in the company of the friends of Allah. So these Mubarak Majalis are for this, how to develop this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to develop the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when a person starts getting an iota of the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then see everything that is connected to your beloved becomes extremely enjoyable for you. So Hazrat is explaining, and particularly now it is the Mawsam of Hajj, people are flocking towards the ziyarat of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat is explaining to us that just think at the atmosphere at the moment, Ya Subh Madina, Ya Sham Madina, people that are enjoying the precincts of Madinatul Munawwara, how beautiful the morning is, how beautiful the evening is. One is the outward atmosphere and one is the spiritual effulgence, the nur of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is all the time flowing around Medina Sharif. How enjoyable it is. Hazrat says that that person that is fortunate to get to be honored by the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be present in Medina Sharif, then mubarak tujhe ye qiyam e Medina. That you should appreciate and realize that this is a very, very blessed moment. And how to take blessed, how to take barakat from the presence of Medina Sharif. Our Shaykh, our Dada Shaykh has taught us so beautifully that presently the most rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Torrents and more than even upon Kaaba Sharif. The most of Allah's rahmat is upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when a person is Allahu Akbar in Medina Sharif, and then in the masjid of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can we imagine at that time now Allah Ta'ala's special rahmat is descending? At that time, how to benefit from this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so beautifully Hazrat explains it, that more than all the waterfalls in the world that comes down with force, and a person goes closer, you get wet. More than that is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala islam. So normally when you go, for example, to the Niagara Falls, the closer you go, you need a raincoat. You say you'll get wet. Here when we go close to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we have to take out our raincoats. What raincoat? That is those, the evil habits of ours, our sins that are blocking us from getting the rahmat that Allah Ta'ala is pouring down. And Allahu Akbar, in every masjid when a person enters, we are taught the beautiful dua, Rabbi Filli Zunubi, that oh Allah, please forgive all my sins. Those things that will block me now, because waftahli abwaba rahmatik, that oh Allah, you are opening the doors of your rahmat. Not one door. Allah's doors of rahmat are open when we enter the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you enter Allahu Akbar, the Mubarak Majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Hazrat explained that today, sadly, because we don't make our istighfar, tawbah, when we go to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we go without a beard, we come back without a beard. We go without our wives, go without parda, we come back. In fact, we come back with more arguments that it's not necessary. That means we haven't benefited an iota from the barakat and the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala that is descending. So we first have to come and open the eyes of our hearts here by the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn how to go in the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Hazrat explains, once you enter the city of Medina Sharif, you will be in such a splendor and enjoyment that bala jaane kya jamo meena hai alam, tere kaif hai khush khuram Medina. That what enjoyment can you get anywhere in the world when the beautiful atmosphere of Medina Sharif and Allahu Akbar, the special nur and effulgence, the spiritual nur of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the whole atmosphere, the skies, the nazar that of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that fell on the skies, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radiallahu walked on that ground. So what can be said of Allahu Akbar, the enjoyment and the beautiful atmosphere of Medina Sharif? Then no city in the world can ever compare to that. You can't compare an iota. When Jannat at a moment envies Medina Sharif, that the greatest personality, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there, then where can we can compare any other city of the world to Medina Sharif? Medina ki galiyon mein har ek kadam par ho madde nazam ihtiram-e Medina. But very, very important is when Allah Ta'ala allows us to enter the city of Madinatul Munawwara, then a person should be extremely conscious that every moment he should have extreme honor and respect for the city of Medina Sharif. Not just how we talk there, how we behave, our walking, etc. And all this we can only learn from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise we'll be right in the city of Medina Sharif, but we'll be far away from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll be in the bazaar, we'll be either sitting and watching the news in our hotel rooms, etc. That means Allahu Akbar. This is a very, very great danger of showing disrespect to the Mubarak city of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's extremely important that we have to learn adab, ihtiram. And as we learn from our elders, that adab is such an important aspect of our deen, that many a times, but adabi ki wajah se, because of our disrespect, a person becomes totally deprived. And Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has taught an important principle. He said, if you want to get the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in closeness, then ba adab ba nasib. We have to learn to have respect and we have to learn to have adab. Like in the majalis of our mashayikh, Allah brings us here. This is a great honor. But we have to be worried and concerned that I mustn't make bare adabi. I mustn't show disrespect in any way whatsoever. Otherwise, bad adab, bad nasib. If a person doesn't have respect, then that person won't get anything. And worse, Allahu Akbar. If a person doesn't think that it's important to respect your elders, it is important to respect our pious servants, then that person will become a wretched person. So to respect our elders, our parents, our ustads, then our mashayikh, this is extremely important. And this is the only way a person can get closer and closer and can get the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And when a person got this, then when the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam penetrates the heart, then everything that is connected to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just becomes enjoyable. Here, as Hazrat explains, can we imagine? Hazrat is giving us just an iota of what love Hazrat has got for Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then for Allah Rabbul Izzat, that Hazrat says, Madina, 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 Bara Lut Deta in Ami Madina. Just the city of my beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just to take the name of the beloved city of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives me ecstasy, gives me enjoyment. Then what can be said when standing durood upon Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Then what enjoyment, how the pious servants must be getting. So this is what we have to come here to learn. That's how we create and develop this love for Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed us that no person's iman is complete until Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is more beloved to us than everything, ourselves, our parents, our children, and everything else in the world. So everything should be more beloved. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should be the most beloved to us. And what is the sign that Allahu Akbar, al-muhibbu lima yuhibbu musi'un, who you love, automatically you'll be following that person. So I myself, first of all, I must see how much am I conscious that what am I doing now, is it according to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And whatever I do, my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi explained so beautifully that even although there are great rewards for practicing upon the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so great rewards, Allahu Akbar, that in this time and age, just to bring alive one sunnah, 100 shaheed sawa. So as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, even if there was no reward, for example, but just the mere fact that my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this, it should be just enjoyable to me. So the best way of life can only be that of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala put this reality in our hearts and take out all the other lifestyle from our lives. And we come back onto that Mubarak way of life of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when this reality comes into a person, then Hazrat explains, Nigao me sultaniyat hech hogi, jo paega dil me payami Madina. When a person gets the true message of Madina Sharif, and this is why we have to go to Madina Sharif, to go to the majlis of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and beg Allah Rabbul Izzat that nur of Iman, that message of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to penetrate my heart, that I am just the ordinary humble slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When a person realizes that I am the slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and I have to love like a slave, and that mizaj, that color of Allah Ta'ala, which Allah wants, that under all conditions, the obedience of Allah according to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you can be the king of the world also, but you'll be a humble servant. You'll be like a mendicant. And the beautiful dua that we learn also, Allahumma ahyini miskina, wa amitni miskina. That, oh Allah, let me love like a slave, and let me die like a poor person. Allahu Akbar. Misai Fain Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, what a personality. And how much wealth Allah Ta'ala gave him. But at the time when he was passing away, putting his head on a brick. And his servant is saying, Hazrat, what is this here? Allah gave you so much in the dunya. He said, I made dua that, oh Allah, let me pass away like a slave. So when you become like a true servant of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the king of mankind, the king of both the world, Sayyidul Anbiya. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most humble slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this is what we have to learn, to how to gain this tawadu, this humbleness. And this is the part of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Without annihilating ourselves, our egos, and without destroying it, we can never ever get an iota of the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then only a person will realize, سُكُونِ جَهَا تُمْ كَهَا جُونْتِ هُو سُكُونِ جَهَا اِنْ نِزَامِ مَدِينَ مَنْ. That the whole world today is looking for peace, but the whole world is in turmoil. Why are we looking for peace where it is not? In all the shopping centers, entertainment centers, the outward, the bright lights of this world, which is total deception. Allahu Akbar. So beautifully, one of our pious elders, Maulana Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, has mentioned, E nara naya roshni, tera muh ho kala. Bahar hai ujala, andar hai andera. That all the so-called modern world of today, outwardly you look very beautiful, very bright. All the bright lights outside, etc. He says, the curse be upon you. That outwardly you are fooling the people with bright light, but whoever runs to you, they only get darkness. That heart gets filled with darkness. And as our Shaykh says so beautifully, that if we want this light to come into our hearts, and peace and happiness will come. No matter what condition outwardly, you might be the most sickest man in the world, but you'll have happiness in your heart if you run back towards Madinatul Munawwara's lifestyle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to run back towards the beautiful life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah Ta'ala will give us peace and happiness and contentment and the whole world. Even if people don't accept Islam, but run towards the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'll get peace and happiness. And then if you got iman and you turn towards the sunnah, then what can be said? You can't explain what enjoyment of life you'll get in this world already, and real enjoyment in akhirat, then we will see. And Hazrat finally teaches us a very important lesson, that O azad akhtar ghame jo jahan se, jo ho jaye dil se hulame Madina. That today the whole world, everybody is suffering from stress. Hazrat says, if you want to be saved from the stress of this world, and worse, the real stress is of the year after. If we haven't prepared ourselves for the journey of the year after to meet Allah Rabbul Izzat, then that will be the worst stress. When Malakul Maud comes to a person, you'll be in shock. At that time, the stress, what is going to help us? Hazrat says, if you want to be saved from the stress of both the worlds, then become the true slave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, bring alive the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the total obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that how at this time and age that we should be giving our lives to Allah, sacrificing our desires for the pleasure and the happiness of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah give us tawfiq and understand.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Just as a reminder, we are now right to in the days of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, and today this is the night now, and we should remind ourselves that these are very, very valuable days. Ulama have written in the whole year, the most valuable days are the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. And the ninth, the day of Arafat, that Jummah is the king of the days of the week. The day of Arafat, the ninth, is the king of the days of the year. So we have got this great, great opportunities to benefit tremendously. Rewards are increased tremendously. And we should also remember, ulama have warned us that sins during these days, it's the punishment, and the sin is also very terrible. So Allah Ta'ala protect us from all types of sin. That is more important, that we save ourselves from all types of sin. And the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the most valuable nights in the whole year. Then these nights are also valuable. Each night's ibadat equals the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. and Allah give us tawfiq also, we should try and read Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Mulk, Tabarak Alladhi, between Maghrib and Isha. For that also we get the sawab of Laylatul Qadr. And during the days, how many rozas we can keep, they are not farad, but every day's roza, these nine rozas, is one year's sawab we get. And the ninth roza, we all should try, though not for us, we don't have to keep it, but that roza, where it is the 1 year sawab also, plus 1 year past and 1 year future, sins are forgiven. Ulama explained, minor sins, that are, which are forgiven. Minor sins are referred to, but Allah's rahmat is unlimited, and we hope from Allah that He forgives all our sins. For major sins, we should make tawbah and fulfill the conditions of tawbah, which they are, which are also not difficult. One is we realize the sins that we were in, and that is, we say not difficult, but there are so many sins which we are involved in and we don't realize. So we don't make tawbah from them, especially like bid'at, innovation, when a person in fact thinks of them as good deeds, for which he is going to get rewards, so there's no question he's going to make tawbah. Allah save us, that's why our ulama made great effort that we get saved from bid'at, that a person must not get involved in any innovation. And our ulama, Allah reward them tremendously. They went through what difficulties, criticism, what and what people spoke about them, but they stood hard and firm. And out of the bid'at, and a person comes in sunnah, what greater thing. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand the sin that we are in. And fortunate is that person on whom Allah opens his sin. Otherwise, they will be opened on the day of Qiyamah. We hope from Allah. Allah covers all our gunas here also, there also. But when a person starts seeing his sins, then almost his total islah is also made. He doesn't look at the sins of others. He wants to now purify himself. He gets more involved in tawbah, etc. And then, so we realize the sin, we come out of that sin. We determine not to commit that sin again in the future. And whatever rights are due of others upon us, we fulfill those rights. Even like the rights of Allah, we were not making namaz, now we realize that guna of ours. We start making, we must make tawbah also, make our qaza also, qaza, umri, all. We should sit down and try and work out to the best that we can how many namazes I've missed, and we start performing them, and we have to make tawbah also of that guna. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So during, and that is a very great ibadat for this month, for these days also. And if it is the month of Ramadan also, what a great. Anyway, these days are extremely valuable. And now we are coming on to the Qurbani, which is very close. Hopefully all of us, most of us will be making Qurbani. And Allah give us tawfiq that we observe the Qurbani also as it is supposed to be observed. And where it is an ibadat, we mustn't turn it into the punishment of Allah Ta'ala by committing all types of gunas. For example, which is common, that we video the whole thing, we take photos of it, the places perhaps some music also playing, the intermingling of the sexes, man, woman, no parda, no concern, no thought of lowering our gaze or anything, all this. So where there is, we are doing good, but we are doing so many wrong also. Allah protect us from that. And very important also, one aspect that we wanted to discuss is the Islamic way of slaughtering which Allah has given us. And when this is ordained by Allah Ta'ala and done, executed by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is enough for a mu'min to understand there is nothing more superior. There can't be anything, no matter what can be proved or whatever, but the way which Allah has ordained and how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered and taught us to slaughter, there can be no way better than that. That is the greatest way. And we don't need any proof or anything, but unfortunately our iman is very weak also. And when the West particularly, or the enlightened world, when they tell us that this is the best way, then we accept it wholeheartedly. But when we know it is the Islamic way, then perhaps we still have some doubts. So in Germany, they had done extensive tests to see that in which way does the animal get the most pain and in which way does the animal get the least pain. This article is available very easily, and they put electrodes on the brains of the animal, and then they slaughtered the animal and they stunned the animal, and very sadly there are other different ways also of killing animals. One terrible way which Maulana Mazhar Sahib explained to us is that some people, especially when they want to kill, take the life of a pig, it's also Allah's creation. It's haram for us to eat, but it's also Allah's creation. They take a poker, an iron rod, make it red hot in the fire, and from the back of the animal they push it through into the animal, and in this way they kill that animal. So it is haram for us, we don't have that, but that's not the way to go about. Some people just take a chopper and chop the neck off. All that is totally wrong. We know that we slaughter, then we slaughter the throat. At the throat we slaughter. And that slaughtering also should not be how we slice bread, for example, or how we saw wood and our hand goes as far as the least, if we can, one clear cut if we can. Otherwise, the least possible. We should just slit it one time. And there are four things that have to be cut. Two veins that carry blood, and one the food pipe, and one the water air pipe. So that is what we have to, out of the four, we should try and slaughter all four. And it's not difficult. If we just would force, give one cut, and then one at the bottom, one on this side, then all four get cut. And that is the best. But at least three must be cut. And this now also, those people explained in Germany where they did this test, they explained that when a person slaughters the animal, then the first thing that gets cut are the nerves which carry pain to the brain. So they get cut, so now no pain is carried to the brain. Now that animal doesn't feel pain after that. To us it seems that when the animal is kicking its legs, afoul, its wings, etc., it's suffering very badly. But how beautifully it explained, which is so logical also, and we should all the time remember we don't need this explanation. For a believer, what Allah has said, that is finished, absolute, there is nothing better than that. But for explaining today how many people, what doubts they have got, so to explain to them. So when we slaughter, and first of all the pain is cut out. They measured it on the electrodes that there is the least pain in this method. And then when the blood vessels are cut, so now no blood is going to the brain. And the other nerves which run at the back, a lot of the spine, here at the back, most of the nerves run here at the back. So the nerves carrying still messages from the brain are still operating. So they give the heart a message, because the heart is a pump that pumps blood to all the parts of the body. And also when we slaughter and we lay the animal down, so now the blood flows easily to the head also. As ulama have explained, what the best way to get blood to the brain and to the face is when a person is in sajda. Because now the chest is higher up. And for the heart to pump downwards is very easy. Like this, when we are sitting up now, we are walking, standing, to pump upwards, it's the gravity works also, so it's not so easy. So Oliver has explained also that if a woman wants beauty, and she knows that when more blood comes to the face, there is more beauty, they will spend more and more time in sajda. If a person wants intelligence in the brain and the brain to function properly, he'll spend more and more time in sajda. Because it is only in sajda that a person's head is at the bottom, the pump is on top and it pumps more. So And also, how beautifully they said, the only other way, if you want blood in your coming to your face and to your head, then you must hang yourself upside down. Where Allah has given us a beautiful way of such a total submission to Allah. And what benefits Allah has kept. So when the animal is lied down, instead of the animals which are going on a conveyor belt, etc., or any other way, in this way how the animal is put down, that is the way of the most dignity for the animal also. And Allah has taught us also where the ayat of slaughtering are. Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that those people who show ihsan, kindness, even when you take life, then take it in them in a nice way. And Allah loves those people who do that. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, don't give the animal more than one death. In other words, you show it the knife before time. He sees the other animals that have been slaughtered, they also have got brains, and it's manifest they have got brains. The food is lying, they go, they look for the food, they know where it is, etc. Somebody throws stones at them, they go away. They also understand, but their brains are small, but they have got brains also. So when that animal, when the throat is slit, and now the blood comes out there, and the nerves which are at the back are still working, they send message to the heart that the brain says, I need blood. So the heart works more harder to give her blood. So as it pumps more, and also then the legs start shaking all, because now must give more blood. All the legs, the wings of the fowl, etc., why they shake so much violently? All in obedience of the brain that we must send blood. They are like soldiers of an army, and what command came, they fulfill those commands. So they send the blood. But all that blood comes out here. And medically also it has been proven, the best meat is that meat tasting. The most tastiest meat is the meat in which there is no blood. All the blood has come out. And the most healthiest meat is that in which there is no blood. All the blood has come out. So blood carries impurities all, so it all comes out. When, and opposite to that, in stunning, all the blood remains in the animal. If you slaughter after stunning, a trickle of blood comes out. When you slaughter like that, we all know how that blood shoots out. And it carries on, and that is why also, don't start skinning the animal immediately, etc. Give it while to cool down, that it becomes cold. In other words, all the blood comes out. We also notice that at the beginning, a lot of blood comes out, then it sort of eases, then again blood starts flowing. So how much more people, like the ZCC people, many places people have reported that they come and look for what they call halal, this kind of slaughtering. Because they say that meat is very tasty, and it is very healthy. It is where all the blood has gone out. And with the other forms of slaughtering, that blood remains inside. And that is most unhealthy. So this is the way that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has taught us, and the most perfect way. And we should not have any reservations, any inferiority complex, anything that what Allah has taught us, they can't be more better than that. That is the most perfect way. So Allah Ta'ala has given us, so we should observe this. And this is not only from our side, but like last year, the SPCA, they do their checks on each day, wherever animals are slaughtered. When they came here at the back and they saw, they were very, very impressed. And these, they wish to read this out, and anyone wants to get a copy, can get it from the office for Speaker Maulana Mansoor, where certain etiquettes are written of how it should be, how animals should be slaughtered. They actually took the photo and they were so impressed that these standards, we also don't have the standards. What out, but we don't observe them. If we observe them and people see Islam and see how Muslims are taught, then we will, and if we practice, Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali used to say, people have heard a lot about Islam. They have read a lot about Islam. They want to see Islam. And unfortunately, Maulana Ubaidullah Balyawi Rahmatullah Ali writes that today we give a complete wrong picture of Islam. We are the biggest blockages for Islam because of our character, our attitude, and we don't have to look far. Just look in the house, how we treat our wives, how we treat perhaps even the children, how we treat them. And they also feel that Islam, what kind of a Muslim is this? He may be a Maulana also, he may be a Sufi also, a Tablighi also. Is this what your Sheikh teaches you? Is this what you learned in your course of becoming an Alim? So all this, Allah give us tawfiq, we are still very far from it. But that Islam comes into our lives. And then even just the mere slaughtering, if we do it correctly, it will have such a great effect. So a few etiquettes we will read. One is, let the animal lay facing towards the Qibla. That is also one very important thing. And it also shows a lot of respect also we are doing, and we face the Qibla. Ensure that the knife is sharp. And don't sharpen the knife, it may be written here at the back, in front of the animal. Then you are giving that animal two deaths. One, when he sees the knife, it becomes taken aback. And when you're slaughtering another death again, do not slaughter in the presence of other animals. That is also very important. And Allah give us tawfiq. Wherever we are slaughtering, we observe these. Where perhaps 5-6 slaughterers, and one is slaughtering here, one is slaughtering there, and in front of one another, the animals should not be slaughtered. There should be some cover or something. Do not cause the animal any undue pain. And that will be explained just now. Correct the intention of sacrifice before slaughtering. Sometimes also the animal is down now. We got the knife, now we are reading our long du'as. We should do all that before. Our intention, everything. As soon as the animal is put down, without wasting time, we should slaughter it. We shouldn't waste time then. And the poor animal is under pressure, is under tension. How much Islam is taught of those animals. And another very important thing, Qurbani animals are a shi'ar, a great sign of Islam amongst the shi'ar. So to respect and just to look at, we pass, alhamdulillah, today everywhere, where it's in Azadwal lands, Joburg, wherever you go, lot of animals, Qurbani animals. We should look at them with love and with respect, though they are ones that are going to be sacrificed for Allah. And we should think, I can't be sacrificed, these animals are going to give their life. If I become a martyr, what a great thing. So the animal is giving its life, is prepared to give its life. And not only give its life, when Nabi Ali Salat was Salam was slaughtering, the camels were like vying with one another to come forward to be slaughtered. Because that is what Allah has put in them. So we should have like this respect and honor and the greatness of these animals. Don't just pass by like that, but have that what great, these are those animals that are going to be slaughtered in the name of Allah. People who slaughter in the name of idols or buzurgs, how they show respect to that animal. That is haram totally. This is for Allah's sake. So how much respect we should show. Then the animals should be fed properly if they have been acquired sometime before slaughter. Very important also, don't let the animals go without water, without feed, etc. They must be looked after properly, they must be given their food properly. The knife must not be sharpened in the presence of the animal. It should be sharpened properly, very properly. Don't slaughter with a blunt knife. Don't slaughter with a knife that is the chipped a bit. With a nice proper knife, and we should sharpen it properly and do it before time, or if we keep on sharpening as we are busy working, they have a different place to slaughter it, not in front of the animal. The animal to be slaughtered should not see the blood of the previously slaughtered animal. It has to be washed away. So if we are slaughtering in a hole, then the stand that we took out, just keep it nearby somewhere in a bucket or whatever. And once we have slaughtered, put some sand over, cover that blood up. So the next animal comes, then there isn't that blood there. An animal taken for slaughtering should not be laid past animals which are being skinned.
They don't let the animals see those other animals which are being skinned also. They have a different route for them, and this is a different place for where we slaughter them. All these, Allah give us tawfiq, and what errors we have made, may Allah forgive us, and we try our best to come out. If we can't come out of it all one time, but we work towards it. If this year it is too late for to make our arrangements accordingly, then we do make tawbah, istighfar, and we make dua to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for us, and how our intention is, Allah will make it accordingly easy. When we have that determination, we want to do it correctly, Allah helps that person also. A person who's got a debt, owing people money, and is determined to pay them, it comes in the hadith, Allah helps him. And that is in fact one way to become rich. Because Allah won't only help you till you pay the debt, and now He'll stop helping you. He'll keep on giving you. So then you'll become a rich man. But we feel that if I pay the debt, then so much money will go there. No, make of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has said that today people don't want to give loans to one another. We all say go to the bank, which is also totally wrong. Why more Hazrat Shaykh said? Because people don't repay properly. They don't fulfill their promises, the time they have to repay again. And Hazrat says that if you have promised, you can ask for respite. But better, even sell your some things, unnecessary things you got. Hazrat Shaykh said to this extent, sell some necessary thing also, but pay on time. Then see how Allah Ta'ala's help will come. So Allah give us tawfiq for this, that we arrange our slaughtering, make the arrangements for according to this. And after all, our gardens, our yards, etc., garages, wherever we slaughtering, the more important thing is the Islamic aspect. Not all the beauty of our garden and all the cleanliness of the tiles and all that. How Islamic things we can do. Our home should be planned Islamically. Parda becomes easy. When we have open kitchen scheme, open this, open that, parda becomes difficult. But if the house is planned properly, very easy. The woman on one side, man on one side, no problem. Everything is done so easily. So Allah give us tawfiq in everything. We see it with an Islamic eye. Our toilet, now one is the toilet has got the shower, has got the wuzukhana with the toilet. One is it's planned, the toilet is one side. Now you can read your duas when you are making wuzu. But now the toilet and the place of wuzu is in the same place. Now becomes difficult to read the du'as. The animal should be caught and brought only when the slaughterer is ready for slaughtering. Not when usually the workers grab hold of the animal well in advance. They hold the animal captive while the slaughterer is still engaged in slaughtering other animals. Allah save us from all this. Allah give us tawfiq to do it correctly. While that animal is being slaughtered, this animal is brought and it's seeing its brother being slaughtered there. What a sad thing. That is not the way of us as Muslims, ummatis of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the slaughterer is actually ready, then the animal should be brought and read your du'as quickly. Read it, finish before. Read the du'as, very important also. And then slaughter. The animal may not be dragged or cruelly handled when bringing it to the point of slaughter. Many times the children also, they take advantage, they play like with the animal. With dignity and respect how much we can, we bring the animal. Not dragging it, not like poking it and making. And also when trying to catch the animal, we should try and make an effort that we don't exhaust the animal. Sometimes the animal is running around, then we are running after it and the animal gets exhausted. That animal is in fact not good, even not for qurbani, any consumption. When an animal is exhausted like that, then the emotions and the whole system of the animal, the farmers also, non-Muslim farmers, they also wear, sometimes it happens the animal ran away. And you're running after, and the animal is running, and people are running after it. They say, this animal, don't slaughter it now. Leave this animal. We will give you another one. Until it again gets its cool and it's come back to its temperament. Then it can be used. Otherwise, such an animal is not good for eating also. So also in that we should think, usually these animals when they are brought in the trucks, especially chicken, and how they are kept there. When they are loaded off, how many of them are like half dead already before being slaughtered. And to eat that meat, anyway, whether it's then slaughtered properly or not, that's a different thing. Just to eat that meat is very unhealthy then. But unfortunately, we are consuming just day, all our meat is like that. We are consuming, then we wonder all how many people sick, getting sick all the time, what we are eating all the time. And worse than that is when we go and eat out at restaurants, etc. It wasn't long ago when in Saudi people were arrested for selling rotten meat to the restaurant. And then they just cook it nicely, put some nice flavoring and all the spices, and everyone enjoys the delicious meat. But it was rotten meat. And we just don't think, and what do we eat? This was not anything hidden. It was headlines in the Saudi papers. Allah protect us, inshallah. The animal should be laid down horizontally facing the Qibla. The slaughterer too must face the Qibla. So put it in such a way that the animal is facing Qibla, we are also facing Qibla. The tasmiyah must be recited on each animal. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And try and read the full du'as which are written here. The neck of the animal should not be cut in a sawing motion. Clean cuts should be effected. Just try and one cut if possible. If not, then just a little bit more, as less as possible. We shouldn't go, sometimes we want the woman to slaughter and they like slicing bread. They're going up and down, causing undue stress to the animal. And also, it's not written here, but with sheep and that, it doesn't usually happen. Don't cut the whole head off. When you're slaughtering a chicken, then it, many times it happens, especially you use a nice strong knife, and you've got a strong hand, the whole head gets cut off. That should not be done, and the reason for that is the nerves which are at the back, which are sending the message that I want blood the brain. You have cut that also off. Now that message doesn't go to the parts of the body, the heart, and then blood remains in that animal. So only the throat should be slit with that four vessels. And for a minimum, three of them must be cut. Animals should not be skinned while there is any sign of visible life in them. Leave them, give them their time. We don't have to break records. We finished in 15 minutes skinning the animal. In 2 hours, we finished with 8 animals. We don't need records like that. We're not going to have it entered in the Guinness Book of Records that so many animals we did. So give it its time so that all that blood comes out. Then he who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يَرْحَمْ. So we should show mercy, even Islam has taught us, even to animals. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, doing good to others, all of it will be rewarded. For everything that has got a liver, that has got a heart, a living thing, whether it's a chicken, you show kindness to it, you will be rewarded for that also. Whether it is a kitten, whether it is a puppy, you mustn't keep puppies as pets or anything, but some puppy is suffering, it hasn't got water, we showed some kindness, we gave it some food, great ibadah it is. Our Islam teaches us that. So this qurbani, and then there are other aspects also. Some people feel, why slaughter? We can give the money to the poor, they can use it. Those are other, all aspects. Ulama have given the answers. Kitabs are, mashallah, translated in English. They are available. We should try and read them and get the understanding. So our Islamic slaughtering is the best way of slaughtering. Allah Ta'ala make it that we understand and do it properly in that way. And then that meat also becomes much more healthy also, much more tastier also. And with the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we will be establishing, and through this the da'wah of Islam will also go. So Allah Ta'ala save us that all what is great ibadah, it is a very great ibadah. These days are very great. And then the 8th, 9th and 10th, the days of Hajj, 11, 12 are very, very great. Allah, and we should think of the Hajjis also. make dua for them also. Now also think that they are making tawaf, they are in ziyarat, they are by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the 8th. Even if we haven't got family, we don't wait for a phone call, but we should, all the whole Muslim ummah is our family. And all will be going to Mina, will be going to Arafat, Muzdalifah. What a wonderful, enjoyable ibadat Allah has given us. What realities they are. May Allah bless us with those realities. And not only the talking, but the reality comes in our heart. And that we live properly as Muslims. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.